Just one comment on the children's time. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says the children are sanctified because of the mom and the dad of faith. Yes. And then at some point, it's not world faith, the faith of the family and the community. It becomes personal, doesn't it? Okay, but that's the key point. Paul is saying because of Christian community, Christian family, our kids are holy, are sanctified. Well, we have more snow in Niagara, and that's okay. We won't boast about that, but you know what? They closed down churches. We got phone calls here on radio as well, and we came here because you have a service. Fantastic, okay? So maybe not as much snow to keep you away, but we're glad to be here. Now, this is the 20th already of January. Seems like the year has had a long start in some ways. But if you look back, the headline says the year past was a year when recklessness ruled. Canada, relations, factious times with the United States. But a new year begins. Could be China. Could be Saudi Arabia. Britain. Some difficulties over the question of Brexit. So beware, beware, it says, of the Ides of March. Well, that's the deadline for the exit from the EU. But then it says beware pretty much every day, whether you're Theresa May or whoever you might be. Well, during the holidays, you see peace signs. You see lights. But from London, Ontario to Halifax, you have rail trains, and they're taking tanks made in London, Ontario, across the country to be shipped by ship to Saudi Arabia. So the sign says peace, and you see the light shining, glowing off and on, and you see the tanks rolling by. Well, lots of consternation in terms of Paris and from Paris around the world. And so we go back to school in January, and here's a crosswalk, and here's perhaps a guard, and he's wearing a yellow vest, and he has a sign that says stop. And the kid says, "What are you protesting?" Well, the kind of world in which we live, right, where there's confusion. Thomas Altizer just recently died. Now, the headline says, God is dead proponent, joins his subject. In 1966, on April 8th, Time magazine had on the front cover the announcement, God is dead. The new, renewed, God is dead movement. Altizer kind of began that. He said, this God, his interpretation of God, is no longer present, no longer manifest, no longer real. Now, he meets with a group of people, his intellectual circle, but they couldn't agree on how God died, why God died, or what God's death meant. God was dead to them. But Altizer, it says, now he's dead, and he gets to meet God face to face. As one year passes, another year begins, the queen reflects. She reflects this year on the wisdom of age, and she says, in some cultures, they believe a long life brings wisdom. Being 93, same age as my mother, who had a birthday on Friday, she says, I'd like to think so. Long life brings wisdom. Pope Francis says, fraternity among nations and cultures. Humans are part of the extended, he says, holy family. Justin, in spite of town halls, might be having a rough ride these days. The sunny ways that he talked about, the sunny days, maybe have been clouded over. But he said he learned a big lesson in 2018. He learned the lesson of discipline, turning the other cheek. Interesting. David St. Jacques, he's the Canadian astronaut who orbited in December. And from orbit in December, he looks down and he sees his first sunrise from outer space. He sees a blue crescent getting brighter and brighter. And he realizes this is actually the curve of the Earth. He says, a never-ending sense of awe. And seeing the Earth from space, he says, it makes you want to go back to Earth. And he says, make things better. In space, he's weightless. But he said, I learned some lessons. I learn, being weightless, that I try not to crash. I learn how to fly. It's easy to lose your sense of orientation. He says, it's easy to get lost, but he's trying not to. So, perhaps a new year. Like, when does it begin? January 1? Does it begin with the summer solstice? The sun, in terms of December 21? And note those early Christians, the pagans worshiped the sun. Well, we don't know when Jesus was born, but if the pagans worshiped the sun, created by God, we'll worship the Son of God. And we'll do it in terms of the beginning of the winter solstice. Does the year begin on January 1? Does it begin on January 1920 when we get some snow? Does it begin on Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year on February 5? Or perhaps Labor Day when you return to school and somehow our calendar revolves around the school year? What about September the 30th? This year it's September 30th, it's Rosh Hashanah, which is the year 5780 on the Jewish calendar. And Rosh Hashanah ends after 10 days of repentance on October 9th with Yom Kippur, the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. Gifford Jones, the syndicated medical columnist, he says, looking back, looking ahead, what we really need is more love. The holidays. For a lot of people in the world, it brought unhappiness. He says what the world needs more than anything else is gifts of love, empathy, civility, and less hatred. It needs to be mindful. It needs a mindful civilization that cares about every human being. Canada Human Rights Watch says Canada's words and money are not enough. And it looks at certain events in the world, like, for example, the Rohingya, the Muslims from Myanmar, driven out, 650,000 into Bangladesh. Canada is generous in words and generous in humanitarian aid. We give to help people in need. But the government is unwilling to support concrete action and take responsibility to end the violence. So the director says, words are not enough to bring justice to the victims and deter future crimes against humanity. So words aren't enough. Are you aware of the word of the year or the words of the year? If you go back to 17 and compare it to 18, Oxford Dictionary says in 17, the word was youthquake. Young people are bringing about change. In 18, they say, the word of the year is toxic. You've heard that word? In Greek, it means poisonous arrows, something that's contaminated. And we talk about toxic culture, toxic relationships, toxic environment, the Me Too movement, or even as you shave this morning, if you use Gillette, toxic masculinity. Dictionary.com in 17 said the word is complicit, people partnering in wrongdoing. In 18, the word is misinformation. Lives cut off from old-fashioned fact-based reality. Merriam-Webster says in 17, the word was feminism, but in 18, the word is justice, racial justice, social justice, obstruction of justice, even the Justice Department. And Cambridge Dictionary in 17 says the word was populism, keen support of ordinary people, Bible class, giving them what they want. In 18, the word is nomophobia. What does that mean? Nomophobia. You're not techies? Well, it means fear. Bob, it means fear being without your phone, okay? So some people, they don't have their phone, right? They misplace their phone. Alexa, where's my phone? Okay? So that's the word of the year from Cambridge Dictionary. In the year of 18, CBC did a tribute to the late Leonard Cohen. And they showed a video of Leonard Cohen engaging his audience. And he says to the audience, you want to hear the answer to the mystery. The answer to the mystery. What does he mean? The mystery of the universe? The mystery of life? The mystery of our spiritual journey? He says, are you hungry? Are you hungry for the answer? Now, the answer from the poet, the songwriter, the philosopher became nonsense syllable. Perhaps he's being playful, but the meaning is empty. So our calendar turns. We kind of turn the page. Something is passing away, but perhaps something is coming. There's a sense, perhaps, of newness. Even the snow, newness. Now, New Testament, we always live in a time of transition. Ecclesiastes, a time to be born. And at the same time as birth takes place, perhaps somebody is dying. So Jesus reminds us in a world of transition. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And then he says to his disciples, I am, God's name, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he says, as he's about to leave the world, I will not leave you orphans. And then, in John 14, verse 25, beginning, he talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then Jesus says, the prince of the world is coming. He has no effect on me. So peace, the evil one. Here's our relationship with God in Christ, the power of the gospel. Jesus says, the evil one has no effect on me. Wouldn't it be good that we could say that as well? So people might ask in our world, as we begin a brand new year, so what is the good word? We might ask, what is the God word? In fact, in Jesus' day, In John the Apostle's day, that was the question. What is the Word? What is the God Word? The Greeks debated the meaning of life, the meaning of the universe. And so Aristotle would declare reality is spiritual and not just merely material. There is a logos, a Greek word, which means word. This is John's gospel, right? John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. There is a logos, there is a word coming into our world. And the purpose of the word, who's identified as Jesus, is to provide us with a revelation, not Leonard Cohen, as to our spiritual purpose in life. Now, also last year, Stephen Hawking passed away. His book, A Brief History of Time, he explores the mysteries of the universe, the mysteries of black holes. Now, black holes are objects so dense, according to Einstein's theory, light cannot escape from the black hole. Stephen Hawking said, no, that's not the case. Now, Hawking died last year on Einstein's birthday, perhaps a coincidence. But his last scientific paper was published after his death. And the paper was entitled, How to Escape from a Black Hole. Now, there are probably lots of people, they may not think of the makeup of the universe, but they think in this world, I'm kind of in the dark. I'm kind of in a hole, and it's black. I'd like to escape, but maybe I can't. So Hawking, when he writes How to Escape from a Black Hole, he talks about a desire for transcendence, something beyond this world. In the words of Bruce Springsteen, the singer-songwriter, he says, everything dies. That's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. See, that's what Hawking was saying. Black holes. It could be somebody's death. It could be his death. But his belief is that everything that dies will come back. There is a spiritual reality. Now, you know, he died of Lou Gehrig's disease, but he tried to somehow conquer the universe from a wheelchair. Now, he writes on reality. He says, a few years ago, the city council in Monza, Italy, barred pet owners from keeping goldfish in a curved bowl. Does anybody hear of goldfish? Okay. Where do you keep your goldfish? Yeah, what's the tank? Is it square? Is it round?
Kind of round.
Kind of round, okay. Okay, so. So this is Monza, Italy. And the mayor, the council is talking to Bob. You can't keep your goldfish in curved bowls because it's cruel. If the bullfish has curved sides and the fish gaze out, they might have a distorted sense of reality. See, that's the council, right? Hawking says, you know what? Our world. We are the ones who have a distorted sense of reality. And he's trying to say in his last writing, in his death, there is a spiritual reality. Is that not New Testament? John, when he begins his gospel in John chapter 1, John announces to the world who are searching, there is a revelation. God has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. The logos, the word that you've been looking for, is God and has entered our world in the very person of Jesus Christ. So as Sam talked, the power of God. The power of God, the power of the gospel. The gospel, according to John, is triumphant in its communication. In the beginning was the Word. The gospel is triumphant in its conclusion. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. The gospel is triumphant in its clarity. The gospel, the Word of God, is full of grace and full of truth. How does Genesis begin? Like John's gospel, or John like Genesis, right? In the beginning, the Word, God speaks, God. And God says in verse 3 of Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. Well, in verse 14, lights, the sun is one of those lights, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh, that's our calendar. For seasons, for days, for years, and we use them to tell time, to mark ourselves in terms of history and space. Now, with the divine light of the incarnation, the universe becomes a stage for the Jesus story. So God, light, appears. Now, John writes in verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 1, in him, in Christ, was life. And that light was the light of men. On another occasion, Queen Elizabeth gives a message of hope as the year turns. She said, light can triumph over darkness. The Queen says, it's true the world has had to confront moments of darkness. But, she says, the Gospel of John contains a verse of great hope. And she quotes from John chapter 1, verse 5. She says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or the darkness has not fully understood the light. Now, our reality is, not everyone seeks out the light of Bethlehem, or the light of the world, or the light of God shining in Jesus Christ. Darkness. See, Jesus is not afraid of the evil one, but darkness attempts to blur and extinguish the light. So what does God do? God provides a self-portrait in a language that even the biblically illiterate can visualize. Not just words in story form, but words in terms of a person. So God as Word bears himself. God as Word is stripped naked. Do we have a nude gospel? God is naked at birth. God is naked at death on the cross. God presents us with a transparent, living, loving, human, divine document or testament in which nothing is hidden. See, we can fully see who God is in terms of Jesus Christ. In Peter's confession in Matthew 16, verse 18, he acknowledges Jesus is the key to the universe. And faith is the means by which we decipher God's message. And Jesus is a light to Jews and Gentiles alike in Luke 2, verse 32. Now, Jesus states, the Word came into the world. I have come into the world to testify to the truth in John 18, verse 37. Now, notice when Jesus says that, the Word came into the world to testify to the truth, Pilate asked in the next verse, what is truth? Or we might ask, who is truth? Now we debate that in our society. Truth is a, note, Stephen Hawking, a spiritual category. Truth is not subject or limited by political or physical boundaries. Hence, Jesus talks about new wine. New wine of the gospel can't be contained, restrained by Pilate, by old wineskins, by physical containers, or by secular categories. Maybe we see it in demonstration for him. A blind man. He's healed by Jesus. He's threatened with excommunication. You say Jesus healed you? You're blind? Jesus healed you? Take that back. Recant. If you don't take it back, you're excommunicated from the community, from the synagogue. Deny Jesus. And the blind man says, only one thing I know. I was blind. I don't know how it happened. There's this man, Jesus, but now I see in John 9 and verse 25. William Blake says, we see with the eye, not simply through the eye. If you're a Christian, as Colin talked about, you have dual vision. You have a different perspective. You have insight. You see as the secular world sees, but you also see with eyes of faith, with eyes of hope, with eyes of anticipation. Hence, Jesus is revealed to those, he says, who have eyes to see. So I guess as we end this lesson, for myself, if this is true, how do I engage the world of would-be disciples with the gospel this new month, this new year, this new day, this new week? See, John, in his letter, 1 John, he presents us, he re-presents us with the word. The word whom he knows, and the word of whom he is certain, so that we too might see with eyes of faith. You might want to, let's say, meditate on that reading from John, 1 John, chapter 1, the first four verses. I'm going to read it twice. But sometimes, you know what, in our reading, unless we emphasize something, we may not quite get the point. So you might entitle this the Word of Life. It's Jesus. So John says, pronounces, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it, and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy, our joy, complete. Now, you have senses. Well, the only sense that's not mentioned here is the sense of smell. But Paul would talk in Corinthians about the aroma of Christ. And for some people, gaze upon the Christian community, think of our world where there's persecution, they would see the stench, the aroma of Christ, as a bitter smell. They'd be repelled by Christians, repelled by the cross of Jesus. For other people, the aroma of Christ is something sacred, a sweet-smelling savor. Now notice the senses. Notice the senses. Read this again. Notice the senses jump out. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, gazed at, like Thomas, our hands have touched, examined, perhaps even the nail prints. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it. And because we've seen it, we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also fellowship with us. And our fellowship, our communion, our community is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. See, the purpose of John's writing, like the gospel, is that our joy, you join us in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Our joy, your joy, may be fulfilled, may be complete. Jesus, prior to his arrest, he speaks finally to his disciples, maybe the final statement, in John 16, 31 and 33. He says, "You believe at last." See, they're with him for 3 years. You finally get it after all this time. "You believe at last. In me, promise, you may have peace." But where do you live? In the world, you'll have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And thereby, through Jesus Christ, Paul says, Romans 8, we too are overcomers. See, the masses of people in the Roman Empire, 120 million, 60 million were slaves. They knew, and many others who were not slaves were poor. They knew the world needed to be overcome. And Jesus says, "I have overcome the world," and the promise is for the whole world, you too can be an overcomer. In the words of C.S. Lewis, there are far better things ahead than anything we leave behind. Is that true in terms of the calendar? Or on the other side, at the end of life, Tennyson crossing the bar? On the other side, we might say with Lewis, there are far better things ahead, and now we're ahead, than anything in this world that's held us back. So my hope is you may be blessed, not happy. That's another story. You may be blessed. You may be a blessing. And like John, I represent the Word of God. I know the Word of God. I'm certain of the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. And in my transformed life, as a Christian, as an overcomer, I present Jesus that you might also see with eyes of faith. Good news, a new beginning, a new day, a new week, new opportunities.